Please join me in welcoming Don Samuels to the Judge Jeanine Pirro Tunnels to Towers Foundation Sunday morning show. Okay, Don, are you there?
I'm here, Jeanine. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. You can call me Jeanine or Judge. It doesn't matter, Don. You are a native of Jamaica. You are 72 years old. You came here at the age of 20. You've been living in the United States for 52 years. Now, you eventually settled in Minneapolis. You're a designer. You were inventing and creating toys for major manufacturers. Maybe one day we'll talk about that. But you were also a member of the Minneapolis City Council from 2003 to 2014. Tell me, what was it about Minneapolis that brought you there?
Well, I came here originally to work for a little game company called Lakeside Games. And I ran the design department. And then after Lakeside went out of business, I rejoined my former co-workers here, and we started a design studio where we invented and designed toys. But all through that time, I was living in parts of the city that were considered the challenged part of the city, ghetto or violent communities. That was a commitment I made in college when I realized my debt to the African-American community, that I could walk out of a college and get a job based totally on my skills, something that wouldn't have happened years ago, but for the sacrifices of the civil rights movement. Children went to jail, young people got imprisoned, and I, as a black man, walk out of an airplane and land into the land of opportunity that was wider and more accessible than if I had arrived 20, 30 years earlier.
But, you know, it's interesting as you tell the story, Don, there is a certain amount of, you know, a belief in the America that you were living in, that you had opportunities. And those opportunities gave you the ability to at least get a seat on the city council. What was your main goal on the city council in Minneapolis?
Well, we were living in North Minneapolis, which is the most violent sector of the city. And I had just finished seminary as an old dude, and wanted to create a children's program for children and families, because so many children were living around us that were somewhat underparented. And and in organizing our neighbors to deal with the crime in the neighborhood and the quality of life issues, we achieved quite a bit of success at that. And then my neighbors asked me to run to represent this community because we had been underrepresented by our political leaders because our voter ratio turnout. It was very low. And so then the representation becomes sort of proportionate to the participation of our neighbors. And so the neighborhood is basically neglected. And my neighbors asked me to take our issues to City Hall, that public safety was a severe issue here, and the quality of life and the conditions our children were living under created the kind of trauma that prevented optimal brain functioning and all of the attendant problems.
Well, you know, Don, the stuff that you talk about, I mean, the negative impact that crime has on the inner cities is attributable not just to Minneapolis, but to the inner cities all over the United States. And, you know, if we kind of fast forward here, we saw the murder of George Floyd, which was an outrage. And I, as a prosecutor, I mean, I was outraged, a prosecutor, a judge, a human being. What happened? And there was civil unrest. What did you think of the unrest?
Well, you know, first of all, let me say we felt a great deal of appreciation, gratitude for the protesters. We, in fact, Sandra and I, our young charge mentee who lives with us, Marcus, a neighborhood kid that we were seeing through high school. And we all went on the protests. I had my picket signs, and we had our picket signs. We were marching just a day or two after the Floyd killing, which was heinous and
horrible,
reprehensible. And on that march, we were going to march from the site of Chicago and 38th to the 3rd Precinct to protest. And on the way, we just felt a vibe that in the crowd were elements that were not really so much pro-community, but anti-police, which is different. It's a little shade of difference there. That in fact, we were marching against abusive policing for our community, while it seems that there are people in the march who are marching against police because they hated them. And so it was, they were not motivated by the love of the community, but by hatred for the police or authority or whatever.
And we have seen this, Don Samuels, from Minneapolis. We have seen this in cities across the nation with the protests last summer after George Floyd, where pretty much individuals from out of the community came in to really instigate. And then, of course, we saw the violence, we saw the burning, we saw the looting, the arson. To just kind of fast forward, living in the inner city, you must have lived in fear, I imagine, of what was going to happen.
Yeah, well, you know, we turned back. My wife, very sensitive on these issues, and she said, something is not right here. Let's turn back. And we left that march, and that was the night that that crowd, in fact, did go on to burn the third precinct down.
Yep.
So we were correct in that. And we had seen that vibe at the siege of the fourth precinct here on the north side. There's an element. It's a minority. But a lot of the protesters do not have the sophistication, the good protesters,
yes,
to discern that there is this faction that is not going to be helpful to them.
Wow.
And they feel that this faction will scare people a little bit, and they will be able to achieve their purpose because of fear that this faction puts in the heart of the people or the leadership.
Right.
And so they coddled them a little bit. And it was by the time they began to understand and to be responsive to that, it was too late, and the beast had been fed and grown to a level that they now were kind of, once you put in the city council, which was equally naive, into feeding that sentiment against police, the criminal element interpreted that as an open season on
exactly
police and for criminal behavior.
Well,
so
as a result, in a nightmare, I imagine you're living in a nightmare. And as homicides rose, as a result of the defund the police movement, let me ask you this, Don Samuels from Minneapolis, you were on the city council, you lived in Minneapolis, you saw the outsiders come in and agitate and put fear into the hearts of the people from the community who were appalled, like the nation was appalled at what happened to George Floyd. Why did the city council decide to defund the police?
Because they were so caught up emotionally in the Chauvin offense and outrage at it, and they were totally two-dimensional in their perception of the problem, and they lost touch with the purpose of the protest in the very first place. That African-American men were disproportionately being treated badly by rogue elements in the police department. And so they focused on the police so much, they lost touch with the very, very community, meaning the George Floyd siblings or types who were in our community, African-American young men who were greatly disadvantaged historically, et cetera. Their children, like George Floyd's daughter, who are being shot in our community daily. Three children around George Floyd's daughter's age were shot in the head over a four-week period of time.
Terrible.
And that group could not muster the compassion. The council could not muster the same compassion that they felt for George Floyd. They just focused on the horrible Chauvin's behavior rather than the value of George's life, the value of George's daughter's life, which was then recognizable in the value of the three children who were killed here. They couldn't make that transfer
Right.
It's so unfortunate.
Well, and
so
that, but here's the difference. I mean, they didn't care about the community. They only cared about an ideology. And you decided that you were going to sue, you and your wife, Sandra, and several neighbors, by filing a lawsuit against the city for failing to provide the minimum number of police officers per citizen in Minneapolis. And a judge ruled last month in your favor, ordering the Minneapolis Police Department to hire more officers. Now, now the city council's reversed the original decision to defund the police. How many people had to die for these fools to understand that they were being played by ideological anti-police forces?
Well, you know, we tried to not go against them so strongly. We know that their motivations are for the good, but that their maturity is at a level that is not useful to the community at this time.
Wow.
They are shallow in their and myopic in their perceptions, and they are not seeing the both sides of the issue. Yes, we do need to deal with the Chauvins of the world, but not all cops are Chauvins.
That's right.
Most cops are pretty decent guys,
and
we do need the transformation of the police department. But if you get rid of all the police, or if you demoralize the police, mm-hmm. the community that you're trying to save is going to be imploding from within, because there are elements of young people in the community, like George Floyd, who couldn't optimize their dreams because of the circumstances. They got frustrated.
All right.
They're
angry. All right.
They're lashing out. The very young people that you're trying... And they're lashing out at each other and on the community. So you do need police. You just need just policing.
Yes, and you need prosecutors to make sure that those police are accountable. But thanks to people like you, Don Samuels, in actually having the fortitude to sue the city of Minneapolis to make sure that they provide police that ultimately helps those who are in the most need of policing in the inner city. Many people's lives have been saved. So thank you so much to Don Samuels for being on the Judge Jeanine Tunnel to Towers Sunday morning show. We very much are grateful for what you have done. God bless.
Thank you. Bless you. Bye.